You're listening to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Time to get the latest about the Stros with Todd Kallas. Brought to you by Houston Powder Coaters and Pipe Fitters Local 211. Here's Joel and Jeremy with Todd Kallas.
No Blankers today. Brian McDonald in for Blankers. Let's go straight out to the HR&P guest line, being joined by the TV voice of the Houston Astros, Todd Kallas. Todd, thank you for joining us. Look, it's not a bold statement to say it after a sweep. It's not a bold statement to say it after the Astros have won five of their last six. But it seems like they're starting to roll a little bit here. The offense is looking better, getting a lot of hits. And again, not a bold statement, but things seem to be rolling in the right direction for the Stros.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That was the best homestand, the best week they've played baseball all season long. The offense starting to match what the pitching has done all season. So it's good to see. It was a good series. San Diego, very good, coming in with the best record in baseball. Almost swept them, and then sweeping the Toronto Blue Jays. Hard to really ask for much more than 5-1 with those two teams coming into town. So hopefully they can carry it over here after the off day yesterday in Kansas City. The Royals have won 4 in a row, so we'll see. Somebody's going to lose the winning streak tonight, and hopefully it's the home team.
Todd Kallas joining us here on the Killer Bees. Todd, Josh Hader's season last year was a little weird. I mean, the saves were fine. He always seemed to get the job done. But the ERA going from the year prior to last year, I think, went up by just over 2 full runs. But he's really been on a roll to start the season. A little shaky in the first game of the season, but only one earned run allowed this entire year. His ERA's under one at the moment. Really vintage Josh Hader. How have you thought he's looked this season?
Yeah, he's been amazing. I saw the comments he said post-game after his last save on Wednesday. And he said, you know, I'm pitching more this year instead of just throwing. He felt like last year maybe sometimes he relied too much on just trying to beat people with the fastball, which he's able to do because he comes from that angle and it's hard to pick up, and he's got really good velocity. So he could live with the fastball and still be pretty successful, but he felt like he needed to pitch more, and he feels like he's doing that more in 2025. But yeah, this guy's always been one of the best in terms of getting the ball in the ninth inning. The Astros locked him up for 5 years, so they didn't have to worry about the ninth inning, and this year it's been pretty much lights out. So when you have Josh Hader and even before that Brian Abreu and a lead going into the eighth inning, you feel pretty good about your chances.
TK, you mentioned the pitching with Gusto pitching well. Really, it pitched well all year, especially at the top. Hunter Brown looks like he could be a Cy Young contender. Fromber continuing to do his thing. Maybe a shaky start, but he'll be fine. Gusto's been really good. Lance McCullers probably making his final rehab start this weekend. Arrigetti probably still a few weeks away. It's a good problem to have, but what do you think they do with this problem?
I think they cross that bridge when Arrigetti gets back, which is probably more than a month away, and we'll see how it plays out between now and then. When Lance comes back, you have the possibility of going to a six-man rotation. I'm not sure if they want Lance to go one or two more minor league rehab starts just because he kind of hits pause there. He might be asked to go two before he's back up to the big leagues. And if that's the case, they have a stretch of like 2.5 weeks beginning with that home series against Cincinnati where they don't have any off days. So you could go six-man there and get away with it and then maybe back it down to five after that. It's weird. Things have a way of playing themselves out, whether Gusto struggles or Blanco struggles or who knows what happens when Lance comes back. But hopefully it's a good problem to have, and too many starters is never a bad thing. So it'll figure itself out. And if one of those other guys, Gusto or Blanco, eventually has to go to the bullpen when Lance is dealing in that rotation or when Arrigetti comes back from his injury, then so be it. But for now, those five guys are going to keep pitching until Lance is ready.
Todd Kallas joining us here on the Killer Bees. Todd, I gave a little bit of a spicy take earlier this week when I said Hunter Brown, since May 5th last year when he introduced that sinker, and really when you look at ERA specifically, the stats kind of back this up compared to his numbers against even guys like Corbin Burns and Seth Lugo, Cole Reagans, and everyone else there, including the American League Cy Young winner, even in Chris Sale in the National League. ERA better than all those guys since the sinker debuted May 5th last year. Hunter Brown, the best pitcher in the American League, is that too far of a reaction? He certainly has pitched like it recently.
If you use that line of demarcation, May 5th, yeah, you could definitely make the case. If there was a Cy Young Award from May of 2024 till May of 2025, then yes, you might be talking about Hunter Brown being the AL Cy Young Award winner. He's that good. Kind of fitting that he closes the whole cycle of that May to May here in Kansas City, because this is where it really got away from him last year. His worst start of his career, didn't get through the first inning. So he's pitching here Sunday, and it would be a great way for him to close out his month of April and kind of put a bow on what has been an incredible 1 year of pitching for Hunter ever since he kind of incorporated that two-seamer and pitched out of the bullpen in that game in Detroit. It's been a different guy. It's been a guy who you could easily say has been the best in baseball from that point on.
Being joined by Todd Callis, today's interview presented by Pipefitters Local 211. They do it right. TK, Zach DeCenzo starting to hit a little bit. And 22 at-bats, small sample, but a guy who profiled as having a plus bat, hitting over 300, OPS plus of 130. How does Joe get him in the lineup more?
Yeah, it's going to be tricky. He's got Altuve playing second today, and he's got, you know, Cam and Zach DeCenzo in the corners here in Kansas City, which is a big outfield. So Joe realizes he's rolling the dice a little bit with two infielders turned outfielders having to cover some ground here at Kauffman Stadium. But he wants to see what these guys have. Zach's still 24 years old. Cam's 22 years old. They're still learning how to play the outfield at the big league level, which is never easy. I still think if you get late in the game and the Astros might have a lead tonight, you're probably going to see a Chaz McCormick take over for one. You might see a Mauricio Dubon take over for the other. But for now, why not? This three out of four games for Zach DeCenzo. He might have been starting his fourth straight game if he didn't have a little inflammation in his thumb a couple of games ago. So he's hitting the ball. He's playing with confidence. And he hasn't had a whole lot of opportunities in the first 3 weeks. But Joe rewards guys that are hitting the ball well. So you're going to see Zach in the lineup today. Cam's been a staple in that lineup. He finally sat after playing 13 straight games, sat in the game on Wednesday. So he's had back-to-back days off, so he'll be ready to go tonight. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, you're not going to see much of Zach at first base with Christian Walker there. You're not going to see much of Zach at third base with Isak Paredes there. So Joe's going to have to get creative and find a spot for him in the outfield, either by moving Altuve in, possibly playing Cam Smith in center at some point, and giving Zach a corner outfield spot. I don't think you're going to see much DHing for one of those young guys just because it's more of a role that he's going to let Yiner or Jose Altuve or Yordan Alvarez fill. So this is another way to get him in there, to move Altuve to the infield and have two young, inexperienced outfielders in the corners.
Todd Callis joining us here in the Killer Bees. Todd, I think someone that a lot of Astros fans were maybe a little, and maybe this was premature, but worried about initially early in the season was Christian Walker. He obviously got off to a rough start, but got the day off a few games ago and has really responded. Five hits in his last two games, has a couple of homers recently as well. Do you think Christian Walker's starting to turn the corner?
It looks that way. I don't think he's all the way back yet, but 5-for-8, nothing to sneeze about. Small sample size, obviously, since Deontay, but yeah. Hits the ball great in that series against the Blue Jays, and hopefully it carries over here. I'd like to see Christian have a really solid week or 10 days to say he's all the way back. But for now, from what we saw in the first 3 or 4 weeks to what we saw in the last series, has definitely been a step in the right direction. So hopefully he carries it forward here. He's, you know, talked to the media during his struggles, and he talked to the media after his good games against Toronto, and it feels like he senses that he's getting back to where he should be, and we'll see how it works out this weekend in KC.
I've always heard great stuff about Kauffman Stadium. I've never seen a game there. I've seen a game at Arrowhead. I've driven by Kauffman Stadium. I think you've been to every ballpark. Where do you have Kauffman? I don't need an exact ranking, but top 5, top 10?
You know what's funny? Right before I went on with you guys, I was sitting here looking at the stadium and thinking about that. So I don't know if it's top 5, but I think it's probably close. I think people never put this place in this city – this stadium in the top 5, but I think this is a sleeper place to come to. Kansas City has a lot to do. There's great barbecue here. There's a lot of fun things, sights to see here. And the stadium has held its own over the years. This stadium's been around a long time, and it has still stood the test of time. It's a very comfortable stadium, good sight lines to watch the game. People here in the Midwest, super friendly in Kansas City. So, yeah, I don't think Astros fans necessarily have it on their top 5 bucket list when they look at where they might go on the road to see the Astros. But I would put Kansas City, if not in the top 5, somewhere really close. It's definitely got a lot more advantages here than people think about initially.
I flew into KC yesterday, drove to Manhattan, and had some Astro fans on the flight. So maybe a decent turnout. You mentioned good KC barbecue, which you're right. But it's not better than Houston, right? Not better than Texas barbecue.
No, it's different. Glover and I talked about it on the air the other day. It's a different barbecue. I'm not, you know, you're not going to beat the hometown barbecue, but it's different, and I really like it out here. I would recommend a few spots, but you can't go wrong with KC barbecue or Houston barbecue.
No.
Todd, one more for me, and I really hate to break up the barbecue conversations, but it is making me a little hungry, so it's probably best for myself getting through the rest of the show. But someone on the Astros roster last year that was a bit of an unsung hero, maybe more because the sample size was kind of small, didn't pitch a full season with them, but the success is really carried over this season, that being Brian King. This year's ERA is 150 as we speak, more than a strikeout per inning, kind of moved himself into the seventh inning role. It's unbelievable where this guy came from to be where he is now, but your overall thoughts on his season and really his time with the Astros going back to last year?
Yeah, I would say he's right now the third most important reliever on this team. Obviously, Abreu's eighth inning and Hader's ninth inning, but I would say King is kind of locked in that seventh inning role, and it doesn't matter whether it's a lefty or a righty. He's getting out both sides of the plate. So Joe Espada has a lot of confidence in Brian King right now. I think Joe would love to have one or two other guys that he can really feel good about pitching with a close lead late. I think Taylor Scott was that guy in 2024. We haven't seen the same Taylor Scott consistently in 2025. Caleb Ord's still not back with the team yet, but when he comes back, he might be a guy Joe can count on late and close. And I still think Forrest Whitley's got the potential to be a guy who can pitch in those situations late in the game, too. Two innings in his first outing and retired everybody he faced. So, going back to your original question, though, yes, Brian King looks the part. He is pitching with confidence, and he is truly the new setup guy leading into the Abreu-Hader combo.
Yeah, Forrest stuff. So sick. TK, thank you. We're really appreciative of the time. Call a winner this weekend.
Yeah, let's hope so, guys. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
It's Todd Kalas, TV voice of the Houston Astros, joining us on the HR&P guest line. Our interview is with Todd, presented by Pipefitters Local 211. They do it right. Let's talk a little bit more about this BMAC spicy hot take that he brought on. It's my spicy hot take. One, was it a hot take? And then, yeah, let's bring it up to Todd, see what he thinks about it. I will discuss that. Gusto, are we undervaluing Ryan Gusto as well? We'll kick it around. 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Are you looking to escape the rat race for the weekend? It's Friday. You got nothing to do. You ain't got no job. Get out to Two Creeks Crossing Resort. Escape the hustle and bustle of the traffic, the colleagues that you don't want to be around for the rest of the week. You can get out from all of that. You can get away from the office, the hustle and bustle, the rat race, and enjoy some good rest and relaxation at Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. Escape the city, enjoy the relaxing outdoors. Book your stay at twocreekscrossingresort.com right now. From open green spaces to beautiful wildlife you just don't see in the city, and majestic trees. I have a soft spot for majestic trees, and you get a lot of those at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. And if you're a fisherman like me, some of the best fishing in Texas on their Two Creeks. Can't beat it. It's also just 90 minutes from Houston. You can get out there to beautiful rest and relaxation and enjoy the great outdoors in 90 minutes. Don't be in the car all day. Don't hop on a plane. That's annoying. It's expensive. 90 minutes from Houston, you can escape the city at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. 92 acres worth of property for you to discover and hike and navigate, kayak and get on the water, pickleball courts if you enjoy that, or you can just hang out by the pool with a drink. That's fine, too. Two Creeks Crossing Resort loves to take care of their visitors. And right now, you can save 20% on your next two-night stay. Sunday through Thursday, two-night stay, 20%, minimum two-night stay, maximum of five nights, but 20% off on a Sunday through Thursday stay. This goes for their RV sites. It goes for their yurts. It goes for the cabins. It goes for the tents. Head to twocreekscrossingresort.com right now to book your stay. That's twocreekscrossingresort.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Andor, the acclaimed thriller, returns for its long-awaited conclusion. The critically acclaimed series Andor returns for its second season on Disney+, starring Diego Luna, Adria Arjona, Forrest Whitaker, and Stellan Skarsgård. Caller number three, 713-780-3776, wins a $100 Visa gift card courtesy of the show Andor, now streaming only on Disney Plus. So caller number three, $100 Visa gift card coming your way. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Texters, what Blankers not here today. Brian is filling in for Blankers. Where is Blankers today? Wrong answers only. Blankers day off. He decided to take his family on a red-eye to Green Bay and meet up with family, cousins and whatnot, and attend the draft in person as a reunion party, says Josh from Seabrook. Okay, not bad. Another texter says he's getting a hangnail removed again. Hangnail removed again? You just can't perform surgery on yourself and get those removed? Adrian just tuning in. Did I already miss Gary's trash call regarding Sanders' trash booty not being drafted last night? No, Gary hadn't called today. Adrian, we haven't talked to Gary. But if you're listening, Gary, Adrian wants to hear from you. 713-780-3776. And Adrian, if it's okay, I can just give Gary your number if you'd like. Let me know if you want me to do that. No, I'll play middleman. I'll facilitate. Texter, do we have an update on Luis Garcia? Last I saw on Garcia was that he was throwing at Minute Maid, but I haven't heard anything later than that. I don't think he's thrown off the mound. I don't think he's anywhere near a rehab assignment, but yeah, he's throwing around at Minute Maid Park, so maybe he'll be back sooner rather than later now. Ocho, I was unhappy. Gusto was pulled with only 80 pitches and two outs in the fifth. Rome said he wasn't missing any bats, but he had six Ks. And maybe it was whiff percentage or something like that. I mean, 80 pitches is kind of stretched out for where Gusto has kind of been built up for right now. I like what we've seen from Gusto, though. I kind of wonder if we're taking it. I wonder if we're underrating Gusto's performance. Like, I saw his side-by-side with that Jackson Jobe guy for Detroit who has, like, you know, pretty good odds to win the AL Rookie of the Year. And Gusto's outperformed him. And, like, Gusto was thought of last year as a guy who was good enough to make a spot start if he was I guess he hadn't pitched in recent games and was going to make the final start of the year up until the game got rained out. But I've been very happy with Gusto. And it's interesting to me that Todd mentioned Gusto and Blanco as two guys that could go to the pen once everybody gets right. You know, when Lance comes back in a few weeks, knock on wood, joins the rotation. Todd mentioned the schedule, no off days. So you can go six-man rotation without the off days. But when Eric Geddy comes back, now you have seven starters. And if you're healthy, like, one of them has to go to the pen. I thought it was very interesting that he mentioned Gusto or Blanco. Like, it seemed like Gusto would be the answer, but if he's pitching better than Blanco, do you move Blanco back there? Pretty interesting to me, B-Mac.
Yeah, and I think that may be an answer or answered by – you see this sometimes in football where – like a running back really takes off, like a Philip Lindsay type or James Robinson a few years ago. But the team has nothing invested in them, so as soon as they get a chance, even though they're productive, they replace them. And I wonder if that might be a similar thing to Blanco. If his performance drops at all, I mean, we're talking about a guy who made his debut when he was 30, or like his debut as an everyday starter when he was 30. So they may just not be as invested with him. So if they view Gusto as someone who has a higher ceiling, then, all right, sorry, Blanco, appreciate what you've done for us, but you're going to have to move to the bullpen.
King of Twit says, horrible analogy, B-Mac. He didn't love your analogy
already?
There.
That was
comparing
quick.
Comparing it to football.
That was awfully quick.
Yeah, I don't know what you do if you get all seven right at the same time. And again,
I mean, like, six-man and odd-man outs in the bullpen, right?
That's the point. Like, which one are you moving to the pen? Like, does it mean, in the way that TK set it up, it would be either Gusto or Blanco. I think if both are pitching okay and neither one's getting knocked all over the park, I think they would go with the veteran. I think they would give the nod to Blanco over Gusto and kind of turn Gusto into that multi-inning long guy. Now, TK also brought up a good point. Like, these things always kind of work their way out. Like, somebody else gets hurt or
sure.
banged up, and that usually is exactly
especially when
what
Lance
happens.
McCullers is a part of the process.
Yeah. But if all of them are healthy in, let's say, a month, and maybe that's optimistic from a Eric Geddy standpoint that he's ready in a month, but if they're ready in 4 to 6 weeks, Gusto's still pitching solid. Blanco had a really good start the last time out, so he's pitching solid. I believe that they would move Gusto back to the pen. I think that would be the play.
I think Ty would go to Blanco. I agree with that. If their performance over, you know, between now or really even the start of the season to when this rotation would hit seven members and this move is necessitated, I think the Ty would go to Blanco, considering what he did last year, and especially if he's still pitching well, you know, a few weeks into the future when this decision has to be made.
I like that he's forcing the conversation, though, because that means he's pitching well. Let's get to your your spicy take here.
I feel like you have an issue with this.
I think you oversold it a bit. I don't think that it's a spicy take that since Hunter Brown added the two-seamer in his last 22 starts where he pitched like one of the best pitchers in baseball and his first few starts this year where he's been one of the best pitchers in baseball, I don't think it's a spicy hot take to say he's been one of the best pitchers in baseball when he's been one of the best pitchers in baseball.
I mean, I didn't think so either, but I believe both you and Joel trashed it when I brought it up on Cash It or Trash It earlier this week.
There's no way I did. No way that I did.
I am 100% Joel did. I don't remember what you said. I'd have to go to the tape.
And what was your Cash or Trash specifically?
Specifically, it was Hunter Brown is the best pitcher in the American League.
I think I cashed it.
You might have. I'm 100% Joel trashed it, so maybe I'm remembering that. But
yeah, because I remember Joel saying Scooball.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm pretty sure that I cashed it.
Okay, all right. So maybe it wasn't as – I wasn't sure how spicy it was, but sometimes people, I think, you know, especially when Joel's a part of the conversation, because he seems to need to see a longer sample size than you and I do with things like this. But sometimes people kind of default to the people who have done it longer, and Hunter Brown were not even at a full calendar year since that sinker debuted May 5th last year. We're getting close to it, but – I could see there being a crowd wanting to see Hunter Brown do it for, you know, more than a calendar year, since we're not even at a calendar year yet before they make that proclamation. So that was kind of why I wasn't sure, plus Joel's reaction as to how spicy the take was.
Spicy hot take. It's a very normal take. A lot of people think he's one of the best at baseball.
There was pushback.
Oh, man. I do like how TK said that a spotter will play the hot hand when they're swinging well. Now, he doesn't get away from his, like, set days off. Like, if Yordan has a scheduled day off on a Thursday and he's hit four home runs on Tuesday and Wednesday, he's still going to give Yordan that scheduled day off. But I do like that he plays the hot hand at positions where there is some flexibility. There is some, like, curiosity every day. Like, who's going to play right? You know, if Altuve can – and Altuve's been playing second behind Wesneski. Like, that's been something that's happening. So when he plays second, who's playing left? DeZinzo playing today. Lineup today. And it's interesting that DeZinzo's hitting ahead of Cam Smith, by the way. Altuve, Yordan, Isak, Peña, Walker, DeZinzo, Caratini, Smith, and Myers, in case you wanted to know. It is interesting that DeZinzo is batting ahead of Smith.
Yeah, I was curious how many thought people would really be in play there for what you talked about with playing the hot hand, because DeZinzo is obviously the name that jumps to my mind right away. I mean, maybe there's a few other spots there that are not unsettled or a little bit unsettled, but it feels like for the most part, six, seven spots every day are kind of already accounted for. So I wondered how many spots would actually be up for grabs as far as playing the hot hand.
Yeah, I would say right field, off days for your normal guys, and then left field when Altuve's playing second. Because you really only have two options at second when Altuve's not playing there. Rodgers and Dubon.
Right.
I do wonder who the backup third baseman is, though. Like, TK said he's not going to see DeZinzo much there, but I don't feel like they would play DeZinzo at third. Maybe I'm wrong there. I'm fascinated if I could ask Joe Espada who your backup third baseman is, who is it. I think it's Dubon over – not that it really matters because Isak plays a lot, but just something I was thinking about. But it's weird to me, again, DeZinzo over Cam Smith, because, like, both those guys can play right field, right, DeZinzo and Smith.
Mm-hmm.
So if DeZinzo's hitting better, which Espada's telling us that he is because he's batting sixth and Cam's batting eighth and his numbers are better, both average and OPS, how come he's not starting more games in right?
I don't have a good answer for that, because DeZinzo, I mean, along with Cam Smith, I think some of the concern was when the season started or before the season started that if they were going to be up on the team, like, are they going to be able to get every day at bats? More so with Cam Smith because of how young he is. You couldn't bring him up to the major league level and then have him be a platoon player. You need a regular at bats. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, I thought DeZinzo was going to get regular at bats to start the season. Didn't happen, and now he is. But I'm not sure there.
Yeah, I would say that it's probably because they just wanted Cam Smith to get reps, and they value him more as a higher prospect than DeZinzo.
For sure.
So, yeah, he has to get a finite number of plate appearances, because if not, it's, you know, going to stunt his development. And we're thinking long term here Smith's been fine. I'm not trying to dog Smith. But DeZinzo's hit a little bit better. Actually, might even be more than a little bit better than Cam Smith has over the course of the year, and also a bit recently as well. King of Twitch, BMAC, you need to start an Astros podcast. The people deserve it. So at least he paid you a compliment after insulting you.
I'm feeling like, I don't know. If it comes from Twitch, I always feel like even if it comes off or is presented as a compliment, that there's a dig that's maybe in disguise.
There was no slash S, and usually the Twitchers are very kind people. They're usually very complimentary. They never say anything bad.
He's a fat guy in his underwear living in his mother's basement.
Yeah, they might be poor. They might be poor and not have any money, and they might live in their mother's basement. But they're nice. They're nice people. 713-780-ESPN. What time is the Who Said It segment? We're going to be doing Who Said It today at 5:45. 5:45, Who Said It Today, Texter. Also want to let everybody know we are carrying day two of the NFL draft, and we have to get out 15 minutes early today to carry rounds two and three of the NFL draft. So keep that in mind as well. Rockets, they must take advantage of a potential break in this series. I'll tell you what it is next. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
A texter says that Blankers is waiting for Branham to meet him in Temecula. I don't get it. Why would he be waiting for me in Temecula?
Temecula's in Mexico?
I think it's in California, isn't it?
I have no idea. I'm guessing.
It's a southwestern Riverside County in California. Might be near the border here.
Yeah, I don't know why he'd be.
No,
yeah,
it's
I
not
don't get
really,
the joke.
No, it's not really near the border. It's kind of close to Laguna a bit. Kind of very south L.A. Very, very south L.A. Looks to be about 30 miles from Laguna, I guess, but a little bit more inland. It's beautiful. It's like a beautiful area, though. It's got like the mountains and the scenics and all of that. I think the texter's confusing it with Sedona.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, that would fit the inside joke more.
Because it's kind of got some Sedona qualities here, looking at it on Google Images.
Yeah, if there's anyone who knows what Sedona qualities are, it's J-Bone Branham.
Yeah, I do love Sedona. Okay, I could see Temecula being my kind of spot. You got vineyards and beautiful mountain ranges and... It doesn't seem to be that far from the beach.
Does it have caprese salad? I know that's important for you.
Definitely. By the look of Google Images and just the setting of Temecula, there is no doubt that they have top-notch caprese salads. No doubt about it. And I can get to Laguna in an hour. Laguna is one of my favorite beaches in the country. Now, the problem is you have to live in California. I'm not sure I could do that. California is a place to visit, not a place to live, IMO.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been to California, so I couldn't really argue either way.
Blankers is raiding burnt ends at Jack Stack's Barbecue in Kansas City. Unless it's chicken, I doubt it.
I doubt. Brandon or Joel doesn't seem like a burnt ends type of guy.
No, he doesn't. I had Jack Stack's whenever we were in KC a few weeks ago. I guess it's been like a month and a half ago now. Jack Stack's is good. Jack Stack's is, I do like Kansas City Barbecue. I agree. I agree with what TK said about Kansas City barbecue being really good. Now, I'm not going to take it over Texas barbecue because I like the way we smoke our meats better. But KC barbecue is good. What are you talking about?
I would have
that was impeccable phrasing.
I would have it one too. Like I haven't been super impressed by, you know, Memphis or North Carolina, so some of the more vinegar based barbecues. But I do like KC and obviously Texas.
Have you ever gotten a tick or know someone who has? I know someone who's gotten a tick.
I think I did as a kid.
I have never gotten
one. Camping
a lot,
so.
Yeah, I've never gotten one, but I do know people who have. You have to, like, pluck them out.
Oh, yeah. They latch on. Yeah, there's some blood involved for sure.
Temecula is wine country in Southern California. Live there. It's beautiful, but sucks because it's in California. My thoughts exactly.
There you go.
It's a viral Twitter event. Is that going on now, though? Right now? I didn't know it was going on right now. Blankers is recovering and preparing for the next draft game with you guys. 1983.
I think for the fun of the segment, it was good that the random name generator put him first.
He went first. You're right. It did. Random name generator bailed us out there. All right, Rockets have to take advantage of a potential break in this series. As the NBA or as the NFL draft was going on, Shams tweeted out the Jimmy Butler news, and it kind of got lost in the shuffle. Somebody actually tagged me in it. I don't know if I would have seen it had they not tagged me in it until today. But Shams reported that Golden State's Jimmy Butler has been diagnosed with a deep glute muscle contusion. Sounds painful. And his status for Game 3 against the Houston Rockets is in serious jeopardy, league sources tell ESPN. Says it's best case because MRI showed Butler avoided any fracture or structural damage. I don't know if that's best case. Best case would be it's just a little bruise and he's going to go in Game 3, not his status in jeopardy. But he's been diagnosed with a deep glute muscle contusion, status in jeopardy. This is where the Rockets have to take advantage. I don't know if he's going to miss Game 3. I don't know if he misses a game, how many games he's going to miss. But if Jimmy Butler misses a game or more, they have to win those games. This is a break that you can use to your advantage. You cannot lose to Golden State, even them playing at home, if Jimmy Butler is not on the floor. If he's going to miss a game or multiple games, the Rockets have to strike. They have to prey on this good fortune.
No, absolutely. I mean, there was a reason why the Warriors decided to make that move for Jimmy Butler, because they were under 500 at the time they made it. Like, this roster, and it really showed when Jimmy Butler went out, and I think at one point in the first half, which is uncharacteristic for a playoff game especially, but Steve Kerr had already played 12 players from his roster. Like, he was just trying to find, you know, some combination of these randos that fill out their bench and all their depth players. That worked, and obviously it didn't work. The Rockets were, you know, at least 11-point lead for most of the way, and then it would balloon up to 20 at times. But, I mean, you have a lot of guys getting minutes like Pat Spencer and Santos and post-play 25 minutes that I'm sure in a perfect world Steve Kerr would not be having those guys either play that much or in some cases play at all. So if Jimmy Butler is not available and you could solely focus on Steph Curry as being the only, like, offensive threat that you really fear, I don't see how the Rockets could say they have any excuse for losing that game, even if it's on the road.
Take advantage. Do not lose a game that Jimmy Butler is not playing. Texter, so Jimmy's just butt hurt? No, he's got a deep glute muscle contusion.
I mean, that's your butt, though.
No, it's a deep glute muscle contusion.
Let's not be
lowbrow with the bees here. We're talking about Sedona and Temecula. Let's not talk
you
about a guy's
butt. Take the high road, I'll take the low road, Jeremy. I'll handle that one.
Muscle contusion.
But
have you ever had a deep glute muscle contusion?
I have not, no.
Sounds like something Shannon Sharp knows a thing or two about.
I think Deshaun Watson might know a thing about her, too.
Might. Imagine what the Bulls could have done if Butler could have stayed healthy early on. You know, that's something I've never thought of. What if Jimmy Butler stayed in Chicago, and how good could the Bulls have been?
I mean, how good could the 76ers be if Jimmy Butler was still there?
I've never thought that. It is interesting, though, like we would do that in the NFL, though. Like, we would look at a, you know, situation where a key player left that team and would look back and be like, I wonder how good this team would have been had this scenario, alternate scenario, played out. We don't really do that in NBA or Major League Baseball.
I guess one scenario pops to the top of mind where we've done that in the NBA, and that's really with the Dallas Mavericks, even obviously before the Luka trade, but Jalen Brunson got away from him. I did hear some people, you know, wonder aloud and speculate, had Jalen Brunson not left and gone to the Knicks, you know, I mean, obviously they still got to the finals without him, but people did wonder how good that team could be if he had stayed.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN, HRNP, listener line. Let's see, what do we want to do here? Let's go to the Jalen Green thing. Two areas Jalen impressed me in the Game 2 victory. And what about the roller coaster ride that Jalen is on? Can they get away with that if he continues to be on that roller coaster? 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? No? Then download it now in your app store.
Time to welcome some new takes.
Right this way.
To Bad Take Boulevard.
If only there was something in your head to control the things you say.
It's the dumbest argument ever.
With the Killer Bees.
Can I just say that I'm an idiot for listening to you?
Whoa. Bad Take Boulevard? You tease Rockets. Blankers called and said we couldn't talk Rockets without him anymore. So that'll wait until Monday. But game three of the series tomorrow, Rockets and Warriors.
That's weird because Joel hates the Rockets. I wonder why he wouldn't want us to talk about it.
Some would say. I've never said that, but some would say that he does hate the Rockets. I don't think those people are fair. First person to make the list this week is Michael Swabby, admin of Astros Twitter, the czar of Astros Twitter. He blasted Ruben, our guy Ruben. Ruben said, tweeted yesterday, Nick Caserio took a major L tonight. Absolutely horrible how tonight was approached. Swabby quote tweeted him, which you know I'm anti-quote tweet. I hate the quote tweet unless it's a response to something, like a counterpunch. Swab tried to – he did. He quote tweet dunked on him. He said, initial reactions like this are so ridiculous. So, in defense of our guy Ruben, I quote tweeted a couple things that Swabby said. Like back on October 12, 2021, Jim Crane would make the biggest mistake of his life if he didn't re-sign Correa. Okay, Swabby, you can't blast people for overreactions when you have an overreaction like this before it was even a reaction to be had. And then what did the Astros do the first year Correa was gone?
They won a few games.
They won the World Series! So, Swabby, you can't tweet out in 2021, Jim Crane would make the biggest mistake of his life if he doesn't re-sign Correa, and then try to dunk on Ruben for saying he didn't like the first round. Come on, man.
You just made the list, Swabby. But, I mean, you could say you don't like the first round without it being like an overall indictment of the entire draft. He's just saying he thought the process on the first round was flawed. Made the list.
Next one, Coach Prime. Deion Sanders took to Twitter back on May 1st, 2024 to respond to somebody. To be fair to Deion, this guy commented on him. But somebody in comments to a Coach Prime tweet in May 2024, tell your son to stop acting like he's the coldest out there that put up a 4-8 season. Coach Prime quote tweeted him, he'll be a top 5 pick. Mm. Where's your son going? LOL, I got time today. LOL. Sanders is not a top 5 pick. So, Coach Prime.
You just made the list.
Love you, Coach Prime. I really do. But, you made the list today because your son was not a top 5 pick like you claimed to be, he was going to be.
Oh, well, it wasn't just that he was trying to claim that he was going to be a top 5 pick. I mean, Lance tells the story that Deion was talking to people with teams like, man, what's up with that guy at NFL Network that had my kid down at 29? That's idiotic. And obviously not idiotic enough, apparently, because he didn't even make it. He didn't even go to 29. He's still available.
Might be a top 5 pick in the second round.
I don't think that's what he meant, but yeah.
I mean, Deion might be able to get us on that one. Golden State Warrior Ball Report on Twitter. These are the people that people want to argue with. But anyways, we'll mock them instead. Amin Thompson clearly pushed Jimmy Butler. To all the Rocket fans claiming Draymond Green was pushing, that's just false. The replay shows Draymond intentionally holding back, making no effort to push Amin at all. Meanwhile, Amin Thompson deliberately extends both hands and pushes Jimmy's legs midair. And Jimmy lands hard on his pelvis and is clearly in pain. Yeah, deep glute muscle contusion. But Golden State Warrior Ball Report saying that Amin Thompson deliberately did that. You are on the list.
Made the list.
Just look at the way he fell, like how he goes to his knees and then face plants. Like just think about that. Like if Amin was trying to make the dirty play, take Jimmy out, you would go down to your knees and then face plant? That's not the way you would do it. Like, yes, I agree that Draymond didn't push him, having seen the view under the basket, but that doesn't mean what Amin did was intentional. There was bodies in the paint, and he was off balance, and he fell.
Yeah. But these are the people that argue.
I know.
It cracks me up whenever people try to argue with these type of people. Like, Rocket fans are arguing with Golden State Warrior Ball Report.
Yeah, with Steph Curry 420.
You're wasting your time. Just laugh at it. Just mock it on Bad Take Boulevard on Fridays. Usually on Thursday. We had too much time yesterday. There are too much things to get to. Next up on Bad Take Boulevard, Astro Knower on Twitter. He tweeted out the other day. He said, Christian Walker just got DFA'd, I'm afraid. Since then, Christian Walker has been on fire. He's been on a tear. So I don't really know whether or not to put Astro Noah on Bad Take Boulevard or to applaud Astro Noah for the reverse jinx here.
Mm, okay.
Yeah, he might have got him
going. There's an element there. There's certainly an element there. I mean, it is a bad take, but maybe he was trying to will it into existence by trying to make himself look foolish when Christian Walker ultimately turned it around.
And we know that, like, I have Branham foot and mouth.
Sure.
Like, I say things, and then it like, the opposite happens. Like, it could be, like, stuff that's almost fact. Like, I could be like, the sun's going to rise tomorrow, and we could go into, like, a 365-day streak where the sun stays on the other side of the earth. Like, it's the kind of stuff that happens with Branham foot and mouth. So maybe Astro's Knower's got a little Branham foot and mouth, but that's not the segment. It's Bad Take Boulevard. Astro Knower, Astro non-Knower, you make the list.
You just made the list!
Sean Mapes, I hate putting Mapes on this because he's a good soldier. He's loyal. He's worked very, very hard. Easily the hardest working producer at ESPN 97.5. Mapes was doing our show yesterday because he was working double duty on his birthday while Brian was getting some rest and relaxation at Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. And Mapes bumped us back. Mapes bumped us back, and he played Paul Gallant's Rejoin. This is the Killer Bees right now. And here's what Sean's playing on the Killer Bees. How long is this?
It's the Paul Gallant.
15,
yeah.
I think.
Mapes pulled this on us the other
now
day.
Now back to the
and
Killer
you hear,
Bees.
Do you hear that?
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Quick pivot. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studio.
He actually played it off pretty good, like listening back to it. But here's the Paul Gallant show. Quick pivot. Killer Bees.
Yeah, I wonder, not to get too far behind the scenes there, but I guess he was on the wrong page.
That's what he said.
Okay.
Yeah, he said he was on his own page. Which I get.
Yeah.
But it's fun to make fun of, though.
Yeah, it's forced to have it.
It's a very easy accidental mistake. But we don't let easy accidental mistakes off the hook around here. We like to lean right into it. We like to expose it. We like to bring it to light and make fun of everybody. That's what we do. I make the list twice this week.
You just made the list!
The first
you just
one was
made the list!
A 75% three-point shooting night is elite. Justin, my newest favorite caller,
he
called
cooked
in.
You, man.
He did. He cooked me. I mean, I sat there and wore it. Like, he was going on. I wasn't going to get in an argument with him. He was right. I wore it. I sat there and I took it. Like, when a little kid gets in trouble and they just have to take their medicine, that's what I did during Justin's call yesterday. Now, I was thinking more like 3 for 4, 6 for 8. Like, what my biggest crime here was the volume of it. Like, if you take an 18 threes, you're not going to hit 75%. I was thinking more of a 3 for 4 night. But I was wrong, and I make the list for that.
You just made the list!
That poor take. And then another one I had earlier this week, I said that C.J. Stroud and sound rhyme.
They share some letters. There's an O-U there. There's an S. Yeah, but yeah. They don't rhyme. They don't rhyme.
No. What was the word that it whenever there's words in the middle that sound the same?
I don't know. I thought you said it the other day, and I actually hadn't heard of the word, so I don't know where you're going. I don't remember it now from a few days ago.
You talked for a little bit.
You actually, I know you said the word that you're trying to think
I Googled
of.
It. I Googled it.
Oh, you Googled it.
No,
okay.
it's an assonance.
Assonance. Okay.
Whenever words sound the same in the middle of the word, not at the end of the word, it's an assonance. So shroud and sound are assonances, not rhymes. But I said they rhyme, so I made the list.
Yeah, you don't have bars.
You just made the list.
You don't know what rhymes.
No one's ever accused me of having bars or swag or drip or any ounce of my body that's cool.
Lots of emoting, though.
Uncool. Lots of emotion, though. I wear my heart on my sleeve. Did you put Dell on Swarm, or did I do this?
This was me. This was
okay,
me.
So you
this
set was, it up then.
This was the second time I heard this from Dell this week, the clip I'm about to play. So this has obviously been on Dell's mind anytime the phrase, the slogan for the Texans come up, that being, of course, Swarm. He thinks they messed up the acronym, and I know you're going to have a take on this.
Walter Nolan, the A&M prospect, is the guy that Lance loves talent-wise, but doesn't exactly fit the Swarm mindset, which is really Swarm, but Swarm isn't something that sounds good, so we go with Swarm. Trying to figure out, is the A in Swarm for and?
I think so.
Because it's ethic.
That's exactly
where
it.
They're saying the A would be, there's an E, but whatever.
Swarm. Yeah, it doesn't sound.
See?
Yeah, it doesn't
Paul
sound.
Paul and... Paul and with Joe when he was part of the show, and certainly with Sean still, they say Swarm. Imagine them saying at one time Swarm.
And then, like I said, this was the second time it came up for Dell this week. So he's missing, as I'm sure you're about to lay out, yeah, that work ethic is one word.
Yeah, let's sit back and let Professor Branham take everybody to school here about the English language, coming from an ESL guy. So that's kind of scary. Work ethic is one word. It is a compound word. A compound word is a word. You know another compound word? Football. What is a compound word, you say? A compound word is formed when two or more words are combined to create a new word with a distinct meaning, often different from the individual words. So work ethic is a compound word. Why? Because it is a distinct meaning. Work ethic has nothing to do with work. It has a little bit to do with ethic. But no, it doesn't. Work ethic is a completely different word. Thus, it's a compound word. That's why it counts as one letter in the acronym. Swarm is smart for the S, work ethic for the W, compound word rules here, one word, and for the A, R for the relentless, M for the mindset. Swarm works. It is not swarm.
I thought it was obviously fitting for the segment regardless, but I knew that might rile you up a bit, so I definitely wanted to get to it.
You made the list, though.
You just made the list!
Lance said that there was one second-round quarterback in the last 5 years taken. There's been three.
Aiming at my ass.
Will Levis. I can't remember the two off the top of my head, though.
There
was a third. Will Levis was the most recent. Jalen Hurts was the most non-recent. He went back in 2020. I can't remember the third one, but there's been three. I looked it up the other day. So, Lance, you make the list.
You just made the list!
So there's some baseball, like, regional networks that are doing, like, the a la carte thing where you can buy the package and, like, get it streamed on your phone or whatever.
Oh,
Astros
nice.
Can't do it because of, like, contracts or stuff.
Boo.
But MASN Plus, Mid-Atlantic Sports Network, they're charged. You can get two, actually, with the MASN Plus. You can get the Nats and the Orioles because they're kind of in the same area. It's $19.99 a month, and it's $89.89 a year. You can get downloaded on the App Store. You get all the MASN Plus content, all of it. So it sounds like a pretty good deal, right?
Absolutely.
Just one problem. They moved the decimal, like on Office Space, and instead of giving the people the $89.99 charge, some people woke up to an $8,999 mistake.
Wow! So they were taking $8,000+ from people's
one-time
bank accounts.
That was the yearly option.
Sure.
So they hit them with that whenever it registered. I'm sure they fixed it. But that one day, you look into your account thinking, oh, "I just bought it for $90 yesterday," and it's $9,000. $9,000. This is Office Space, but like in reverse and a few less decimals.
Yeah, I hope for the people who that would have put them under zero, they also, you know, because sometimes, I mean, there's like fees that go along with that if a bank has to basically float you more than what you actually have in your account. So I hope they refunded that part as well for those people.
Yeah, I never keep that much money in my checking account, ever.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, they might have, for a lot of people, I don't know if a lot of people, but definitely some portion of the people, that would have put them below zero, so... They got to refund whatever that charge is for going below zero also.
Yeah, that's rough.
That's rough.
So we had a texture the other day. I'm not sold on the Hunter Brown hype train. I say deal him now while people still think he's going to be an ace. We have the smartest listeners on the Hive. He is not one. He made the list.
You just made the list.
Oh,
the last one.
Terrible take.
Nico Harrison. He did that little thing with the meteor or whatever. Like, I think he was forced to by the owner. Nico Harrison on Luka Doncic via Tim Cato. I did know Luka was important to the fan base. I didn't know quite to this level. Tell me you lack Phil without telling me you lack Phil.
I heard the quote, and again, Nico, stop talking. Like, I feel like he's done too many press conferences at this point. Like, what is he going to do at this point? He has no chance to actually explain to people why he did what he did to the point of bringing them over to his side. There's no benefit of him talking. But to go out there and tell the reporters and tell the world, like, yeah, I didn't really see this reaction coming. It's such a bad take that I believe he's lying to me. Like, I can't believe he actually didn't know this sort of reaction was coming.
All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRNP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's get to the other draft stuff from yesterday. Some big news at the top of the draft with Cleveland trading down, Jacksonville trading up, and then the AFC South had a night as well. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. One of the things that is very beneficial in life is HR&P. They're very beneficial to your business as well. If you have a business, you need to get HR&P in your life. It's Cougar owned by my colleague, Go Cougs. Chris Fisher over there, some great people over at HR&P. And business owners, let HR&P help you. They can help you in HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, onboarding. HR&P can help in any or all of these facets. There's no boxes with HR&P. Doesn't matter how small or how big the job, HR&P completely customizes a plan for what you and your business need. You have a problem, you have an issue, you want to take a little bit off your plate, HR&P will find a way to help. They do it in a way that's unique. Technology meets service. They have the best tech. You'll love that. But you're going to fall in love with that service. Guaranteed fulfillment. You'll never talk to a stranger. You'll be talking to someone who knows you and they know your business needs. Give them a call right now to help you out. 281-880-6525. Allow them to take a little bit off your plate. That way you can spend time doing the stuff you want to do, whether it's in your business or outside of your business. 281-880-6525 or check them out online at hrp.net. That's hrp.net.
ESPN 97.5.